Here we go, another week of our 4.5 year verse-by-verse journey through all of God's inspired Word, and we are in Judges chapter number 18 today. This section of the book of Judges seems to be appended material that actually takes place way back at the beginning of the period of the Judges, during the high priesthood of Phinehas. The generation immediately after the death of Joshua and of Eleazar, the high priest, and of Caleb, the great hero of Hebron. And so we keep hearing this reminder that there was no king in Israel back at this time, which tells me that the book of Judges was finished right around the beginning of the period of the kings. There was no king in Israel at that time, and everybody did as they saw fit in their own eyes. And that never works out well. When everybody is just kind of flying by the seat of their own pants, making up their own rules, that's not going to work. And so in the story so far, we know that there was an Ephraimite by the name of Micah, who had apparently taken some of his mom's silver, but when mom promised to devote it to he who is, once it got returned, Micah brings it back, and then mom says, "Oh, you're such a good boy. I'm blessing the Lord for you. Let's make idols of God. Let's make images of he who is. With some of this silver," which Micah does. And then he kind of sets up his own little shrine building with those images inside of it. He appoints one of his sons to be the priest of this little cult. And then suddenly Moses' grandson shows up looking for a job. He's a Levite. But Micah grabs a hold of him and says, "I'll pay you some good remuneration if you'll be my own little pet priest." And the priest agrees to do it. And so the scene shifts at the beginning of chapter 18 to the next players in this story. And that's the people from the tribe of Dan. Chapter 18 says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. In those days, the tribe of the people of Dan was seeking for itself an inheritance to dwell in, for until then, no inheritance among the tribes of Israel had fallen to them," which that is not an appropriate reality. Dan is trying to express that idea here that we don't have enough room. Well, the reason they don't have enough room is because they're not bothering to trust God to clear the Canaanites with chariots out of the majority of their property. The majority of their property is along the Mediterranean coastline. But they won't do it. They won't clear it. They won't trust God. So they are jammed into a little area of hill country around Zorah and Eshtaol. And because of that, they send out a search team to find somewhere that they can take over and spread out into. So that's verse 2. "So the people of Dan sent 5 able men from the whole number of their tribe, from Zorah and from Eshtaol, to spy out the land and to explore it. They said to them, 'Go explore the land.'" So they came to the hill country of Ephraim. So that means they head eastward. It would have been probably up the valley that Eshtaol and Zorah are sitting on. So they go eastward into the central part of what is held by Benjamin right now. And they're not going to find any property there. And then they turn northward and follow the ridgeline, the road that goes from right around Bethel and Ai, up towards Shechem. And that's taking them through the hill country of Ephraim. And we're told then that they came to the hill country of Ephraim, and they ended up at the house of Micah, and they lodged there. So they stop at this place and ask for a place to stay for the night, which Micah kindly gives to them. Verse 3. When they were by the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. Now that is a part of the story that is interesting, but we don't know how that is the case. These guys have met Micah's little pet Levite, somewhere else. Now, is it possible that when that young Levite left from Bethlehem, that he wandered down into the Zorah and Eshtaol area looking for a job met them there? And, of course, they had their own problems. They didn't have a need for a Levite helping them out because they didn't have enough room as it was. And so possibly that's where they met him. But now suddenly they recognize his voice and they're like, hey, we know that guy. So they turned aside and they said to him, who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What's your business here? All reasonable sorts of things to ask a person that you saw somewhere else. So he said to them, oh, this is how Micah dealt with me. He's hired me. I've become his priest. So, yeah, I found that job I was looking for. I'm not just a Levite now. I'm a priest. And so they said to him, inquire of God, please, that we know whether the journey on which we're setting out will succeed. So they don't go, oh, how can you be a priest? You're just a Levite. You're not supposed to be a priest. No, they don't correct him. They basically say, cool, since you're a priest now, can you check in with God for us and see whether or not we're going to find what we're looking for? And so the priest said to them, oh, go in peace. The journey on which you go is under the eye of He who is. Now, I'm going to tell you, folks, I don't believe that that was true. I believe that this young man is just cosplaying as a priest. And as such, he basically tells these people what they want to hear, which is, oh yeah, you'll have a good turnout. God will help you. Which is exactly the problem we run into in the warnings of the New Testament. Let me read to you a little something for preachers. This is for preachers, which they're the ones that are supposed to be acting on behalf of God legitimately, right? They're supposed to be speaking on His behalf. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. And that goes right back to the previous section about all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God can be adequate, equipped for every good work. So we're supposed to be preaching God's inspired word, teaching God's inspired word. That's the responsibility of a minister, a preacher. So preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. So we have to always be ready to respond to every situation, which means we've got to be very well acquainted with Scripture. Reprove, which means sometimes we have to tell people that they're doing it the wrong way. Rebuke, again, tell people you need to do it differently. You need to do it in accordance to Scripture. Exhort, which is the idea of telling them how to do it the right way. With complete patience and teaching. So we do have to be thinking about what's best for the other person. And then comes the part that I came here for. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths or fictions. And so that is exactly, in my estimation, what's happened in the house of Micah. This young man, this grandson of Moses, has taken this job to be Micah's pet priest, and he is doing it in a way that will make people happy. He wants Micah to be happy, and now he wants these Danites to be happy. Back to the story in Judges 18, verse number 7. Then the five men departed, and they came to Laish. Now, Laish is going to become the city of Dan. And we know exactly where it is. I've been there a few times in my life. It is one of the sources of the headwaters of the Jordan River. And at this time, this city was completely Canaanite or Sidonian. And it was not one of the cities that Joshua swept through and dealt with during the first few years of Israeli time in the Promised Land. It is technically part of, I believe, Issachar. I forgot I was going to go back and check that again. But it is assigned to one of the other tribes already, but that tribe doesn't seem to be interested in occupying it either. The city is surrounded by a lot of fertile field crop areas. And it's definitely got good fresh water. There's going to be places that have vineyards and fruit orchards. There's going to be places to run your animals. It is a marvelous place. It is prime property. There's no doubt about that. And so the five men came to Laish. They saw the people who were there, how they lived in security. Basically, they were living in peace. They were after the matter of the Sidonians. So that was the culture that they were kind of associated with. Sidon is only like 26 miles to the northwest from here. Tyre is about 25 miles to the due west. So they were living quiet and unsuspecting, lacking nothing that is in the earth, and possessing wealth. And how they were far from the Sidonians and had no dealings with anyone. So the five spies see that this place is a really nice place to live, peaceful. Nobody's hassling them. And perhaps because of that, they really haven't made any alliances or kept up any alliances with powerful cities nearby, like Sidon. So these guys are isolated. And so they believe that this is the place to go to. This is the place to take over. So verse 8, when they came to their brothers at Zorah and Eshtaol, their brothers said to them, what do you report? They said, arise, let's go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it's very good. And will you do nothing? So basically, are you just going to stand there? Don't be slow to go to enter in and possess the land. As soon as you go, you will come to an unsuspecting people. The land is spacious, for God has given it into your hands. I think that's probably a reference to what they heard from the little pet priest of Micah. A place where there's no lack of anything that is in the earth. So that convinces a very large portion of the tribe of Dan that is compacted into this area around Zor and Eshtaol that they need to migrate north. So a very large portion of the tribe of Dan abandons completely their tribal allotment given by the hand of Joshua and the high priest Eleazar by the Holy Spirit's guidance, and they go to the territory of another tribe to take over a chunk of it for themselves. Because, as we're told, there was no king in Israel in those days. Everybody did as they felt like. So, verse 11, 600 men of the tribe of Dan, armed with weapons of war, set out from Zorah and Eshtaol. They went up and camped at Kiriath Yearim in Judah. So Kiriath Yearim is right at the corner between Judah and Benjamin and the tribe of Dan. It's very close to the place where their territories come together. But Kiriath Yearim belongs to Judah specifically. That'd be their first night that they stay. And on account of this, the place was called Mahane Dan, which just means Camp of Dan. So behold, it's west of Kiriath Yearim. It'll come up in a story later in the book. They passed on from there to the hill country of Ephraim, and they came to the house of Micah. So they figure, let's stop at Micah's house as another one of our places to rest and sleep before we go on our trip. Then the five men who had gone to scout out the country of Laish said to their brothers, "Do you know that in these houses there's an ephod and household gods, a carved image and a metal image? Now, therefore, consider what you will do." So the five guys go, "Hey, everybody, come here, let's talk. You see these buildings here that make up the compound for this this household? That one over there, that's a shrine building. And inside of it, they've got their own special little worship site to God, to He who is. They've even got their own little priest. What do you think we ought to do regarding that?" So they turned aside there and came to the house of the young Levite at the home of Micah and asked him about his welfare. Now, the 600 men of the Danites, armed with their weapons of war, stood by the entrance of the gate. So the five guys come in, the 600 stay out. And they're like, "Hey, Levite, good to see you again. How are things going?" The five men who had gone to scout out the land went up. They entered and took the carved image, the ephod, the household gods, the metal images, while the priest stood by the entrance of the gate with the 600 men armed with the weapons of war. So they've already made up their mind what they're going to do. They are going to confiscate these worship objects and take them with them, because they're going to be a long ways away from the worship site at Shiloh. And why not have your own little worship site at your new place? Again, everybody's doing whatever they feel like. Now, when these went into Micah's house and they took the carved image, the house, the ephod, the household gods, and the metal image, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" So they're like taking his sacred objects, and he's like, "What do you guys think you're doing just taking those things?" And they said to him, "Keep quiet," or "be at peace, put your hand on your mouth, come with us. You be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for you to be the priest to the house of one man, or to be the priest to a tribe and a clan in Israel?" So they offer him a better job opportunity. "Look, come with us. We're moving into a whole new adventure here. Wouldn't you be better off working for us, an entire tribe or a very large portion of a tribe, than working for one little family group? And lo and behold, that's all of the persuasion he needed. Verse 20, the priest's heart was glad. So he took the ephod. Remember, that's the special uniform. And the household gods and the carved image. And he went along with the people. So he voluntarily goes. And he's glad for this advancement of his importance. So they turned and they departed, putting the little ones and the livestock and the goods in front of them. So they've got all of their families, all of their material possessions on this migration. When they'd gone a distance from the home of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house were called out, and they overtook the people of Dan. They shouted to the people of Dan, who turned around and said to Micah, "What's the matter with you that you come with such a company?" So Micah and his neighbors, who probably are involved in this little local worship cult, they get a posse up because they've been robbed and their priest has been kidnapped, as far as they can tell. And so they're going to go chase down the bad guys. When the bad guys, that'd be the Danites, turn around, they're like, "What are you doing? Why are you here?" And Micah said, "You took my gods that I made and the priest, and you go away, and what have I got left? Why are you asking me what's the matter with you?" So he's quite upset and like, "You got to be kidding me. You take all this sacred stuff, you kidnap my priest, and you dare ask me what's the matter with me?" But the people of Dan said back to him, "Don't let your voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows fall upon you and you lose your life with the lives of your household." Now, that's not a veiled threat. That is, shut up unless you want to die. And so, the people of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his home. And so he is left without his sacred objects. He's left without his pet priest, and we never hear about him again. But, verse 27, the people of Dan took what Micah had made, and the priest who belonged to him, and they came to Laish, to a people quiet and unsuspecting. So we're back to what drew them to this place, is that the people of Laish didn't believe that they were under any threat whatsoever. Now, understand, this is important, understand that Laish would have been on the hit list of cities that God would have allowed the Israelis to increase into, expand into. But because of disobedience of the northern tribes that were nearby, that had not happened. So the Danites are stepping in and doing something that other tribes should have done. But that doesn't make them the good guys, because they shouldn't be up here in the first place, because they didn't do what they were told in their own tribal region. This is one of the frustrating things about talking about the book of Judges, is everybody's doing what they feel like doing, and hardly anybody's doing what God told them to do. And so it's really messed up. But the story is that the Danites struck them with the edge of the sword. They burned the city with fire. There was no deliverer because it was far from Sidon. Remember I told you it's about 26 miles. They had no dealings with anyone. It is in the valley that belongs to Beth Rehob, which nobody's for sure where Beth Rehob is. This whole valley area that's north of the Sea of Galilee, it's the northern watershed area for the Jordan River. It's a really nice area to be in. And so they rebuilt the city and lived in it. And it becomes the city of Dan. They named the city Dan after the name of Dan, their ancestor, who was born to Israel. But the name of the city was Laish at the first. And then comes what I think is the prelude to another horrible story later in Israeli history. The people of Dan set up the carved images for themselves. So they set up their own little shrine area, and they had Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Moses, and then his sons, all of them were priests to the tribe of the Danites until the day of the captivity of the land. So they become the Danite cult. Now, it's devoted, supposedly, to He Who Is. But it is based on stolen idols. Now, eventually, this is where the golden calf of Jeroboam will be placed. And it will become another one of the idols that the Danites will be worshiping as if they were worshiping He Who Is. In verse 31, so they set up Micah's carved image that he'd made as long as the house of God was at Shiloh. And so we actually have a false worship area at the extreme north of the tribal region of the Israelis throughout the history of Israel.